what is the perceived threat from the Iranians?
You know, since the inception of the Baha'i faith in 1844, the Baha'i teachings to them just seemed just so revolutionary. You know, the Baha'u'llah, who is the founder of the Baha'i faith, talked about racial equality and that how there needs to be unity between science and religion and equality of women and men and universal education and the importance for women to be educated and the importance of mothers to be educated because mothers are the first educators of their children. And how in the Baha'i faith it's important to investigate the truth for yourself and to be knowledgeable. And in the Baha'i community, we have no clergy. So this is a country that is ran by clergy. And obviously, many of these ideologies that I just mentioned just goes against the ideologies of the Iranian government.
You've mentioned that your dad was killed as a result of persecution connected to your faith. Can you talk me through how this, what happened and what you know about what happened?
My father went to work one day. This is in the early 80s, and he never came back. And for months, for about 7 months, my mother, my sister, and I, we would go from prison to prison in Iran and begging the authorities to tell us about his whereabouts if they hadn't, and they would not give us any answers. Finally, after 7 months, they confirmed that he was still alive, that he was in the Evin prison. And after that, after 10 months, they finally gave us visitation times, which was about 10 minutes, you know, once a month to have visitations with him. One day we went for a visitation. This is after he was in prison for 19 months. And I remember standing outside in the snow for hours. And we had our little visitation card. And when it came for our time to go and visit my father, the guard that was standing there, he just had, he just told us, he said, "I cannot believe that they haven't told you, but we killed him a month ago." So he was executed and we were never informed about his execution. After that, we just lost everything. And a couple of months later, my mother, my sister and I, we fled through the mountains on camelback to Pakistan and lived in Pakistan for 2.5 years as refugees under the protection of the United Nations, waiting for a country to take us in. And we were lucky that Germany took us in as refugees. So I grew up in Germany and went through junior high and high school there before I moved to the United States. And during the same time as my father was in prison, his younger brother, Kamal Khashoggi, was also arrested, and he was in prison for 5 years. Once he was released from prison, the persecution of the Baha'is continued, and lately the persecution has heightened again. In 2012, things have gotten much, much worse.
You still have an uncle that's still imprisoned, and your aunt has been recently released from prison? And tell us her story.
There was a huge campaign in the town of Gorgan, where my family lives. Many, many homes of Baha'is were plundered. The guards came in the middle of the night, just took everything from the homes, every single book that they had, photo albums, frames from the walls, you know, just plundered the homes and arrested many, many Baha'is in the city of Gorgan. And my uncle was one of them. This is in October of 2012. And he was then later transferred to the Evin prison, and now he's in the notorious Gohardasht prison, which is one of the worst prisons in Iran. And for the past 7 months, he has been under extreme hardship and torture. And about 3 weeks ago, the government authorities came and arrested his wife. And for 2 weeks, we had absolutely no news from her. They transferred her to an unknown location and left their four young children at home. And we were extremely overjoyed on Monday when the family was there, the children were able to go and post bail, which is huge because they don't usually allow that for Baha'is, and they have released her.
Is there a possibility for anybody who's been imprisoned as a Baha'i to recant their faith, to be released? Is that a possibility for them?
Absolutely, and that's the only way that they can get out of prison. The only thing they have to do, and that's what they torture the Baha'is for. They torture them and they say, you can leave prison if you become a Muslim. If right now, if you recant your faith, you can leave. And one of the famous Baha'i quotations is that truthfulness is the foundation of all human virtues, and that without truthfulness, progress and success in all the worlds of God are impossible to any man. So Baha'is are told to be truthful. And it's the foundation of our faith. So can they just lie and say, I'm not a Baha'i and I'm willing to convert? Absolutely, they can do that. But many of them, they believe in these teachings and they are standing firm in their faith.
What keeps a Baha'i who's continued to be persecuted, maybe not personally, but their faith, what keeps them in Iran?
It's very difficult to leave Iran. It's very difficult for, as a Baha'i, to get a passport to leave the country. There is so many Baha'is in Iran. Again, it's the largest religious minority, and all of them cannot just, and it's very dangerous to leave the country. It's not, when my mother, my sister, and I, we left the country, it was a very dangerous journey. So the question is, do they want to take on that journey? Do they have the funds to take on that journey? And again, it's not an easy thing to do. Many of them have elderly family members who they would have to leave behind. And again, the number of Baha'is is so large that they cannot all leave the country.
How does the faith of the Baha'i justify the hardship that they go through for being a Baha'i?
Baha'is have a really optimistic view about the future of the world. You know, there is these great Baha'i quotations, like, for example, it says that world peace is not only possible, it's inevitable. It will happen. And Baha'is everywhere in their local communities are working so hard to bring about peace in the world wherever that we live. And we also have genuinely faith that these persecutions will end. We also believe in the power of prayer. And we believe that prayer is the food for the soul, and that we all, not only that, if you're spiritually strong, your body, and you can overcome anything in life. And I have to tell you, I have been so moved in the last couple of months with my uncle being in prison. So many of my friends of various churches and religious denominations here in Murray have contacted me, and they have been telling me how they're praying for the Baha'is of Iran. And I firmly believe that their prayers give the prisoners strength in what they are doing. And I think also the prisoners know that they're standing for the right ideals. They're in prison because they're standing up for education, for basic human rights. So they know they are not in prison for the wrong reasons. They are there for the right reason.
Apart from being positive, what action would the Baha'is take or could they take?
You know, the Baha'i faith is just such a nonviolent religion. It's such a peaceful religion. But at the same time, we take action and we use proper channels and appeal to the consciousness of the leaders of Iran and to give the Baha'is the basic human rights that they deserve. And we have been very lucky since the 1979 persecution of the Baha'is in Iran to work closely with the United Nations. They have passed so many resolutions in defense of the Baha'is of Iran. Every single U.S. president has spoken for the rights of the Baha'is of Iran. And not only U.S. presidents, but leaders of all countries have really stood up for the Baha'is. And the Congress and the Senate both have passed so many resolutions defending the rights of the Baha'is in the country. And I think it's so important because international pressure works, because the Iranian government does care of what the world thinks of them. And I remember as a Baha'i child in Iran, I was in fifth grade, and my principal walked into the classroom and she said, who are the Baha'is in this class? And a number of us raised our hands and she told us to get up. And she said, and she was so upset and very teary-eyed, and she was a Muslim herself, but she could not believe that the Iranian, she said, I have this letter from the Iranian government that says all Baha'i children have to be released from public schools. And right there, they asked us, they said, would you like to recant your faith? And I'm in fifth grade. And I said, no, I'm a Baha'i. And they said, well, I'm sorry, you cannot come back to school. And the international outcry was so high for what the Baha'i children in Iran were going through that within a couple of months, the Iranian government was put under the pressure and they changed their law again. So now Baha'i children can go to school.
What are the courses of action that Baha'is in the U.S. and outside of Iran are doing to help those that also practice their faith?
Good question. There is currently House Resolution 109 that condemns the Iranian government's treatment of the Baha'is. Also, Senate Resolution 75. And we would like all senators and the congressmen to co-sponsor these resolutions. So, you know, it sends a big message to the Iranian government that the American people will not stand for injustice, you know, to the Baha'is. There is also the campaign, 5 Years Too Many. There are 7 Baha'i leaders in Iran who have been in prison for the past 5 years, and they are prisoners of conscience, and they have received 20-year prison sentence, and no other prisoner of conscience in Iran has received that long a prison sentence. So everywhere...
And a prisoner of conscience is someone who's in prison for their beliefs? Is that what that stands for, basically?
Absolutely. Okay. And Baha'is are not a political group. They do not participate on partisan politics. We don't even want to change the regime in Iran. You know, they're just basically in prison for being Baha'is. And also there is, since Baha'i students cannot attend any colleges and universities in the country, there is also the Education Under Fire campaign, where everyone can go and visit that website and raise their voice in asking the Iranian government to stop persecuting Baha'i students.
Monica Shani Hearn is a Murray resident, a Baha'i, and her husband teaches at in the Murray State History Department. And Mona, thanks very much for sharing your story.
Thank you.